in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26 and verse 18. The Lord, He says also, this day the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people. And they were the special people of the promise. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, and in verse 4, we read about the New Testament church. And we read that God who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Himself for His own special people. And that's exactly who you are in Christ. You are His special people. And we want to talk today about what we need to do as His people. You know, when you meet new people out in the world, I've met people recently, and you talk about yourself. That's what you tend to do. You talk about yourself. You know, you want to introduce yourself to the people. The last person that I talked to, I told him that I was a professional actor in the movies. I told him that I played professional sports. And I told him that I was an airline pilot. And I know you're all looking at me kind of funny right now because you know me, right? But I'll tell you why I said that, because I went and sat in a movie theater, sat and watched baseball games in the stands, and I did fly in a jet airline. And you're probably thinking right now, Dave, one of your books fell off your top shelf and hit you in the head, didn't it? And you're thinking to me, you know, the first thing you would probably say to me is, listen, Dave, sitting in a movie theater doesn't make you an actor. Sitting and watching a baseball game in the stands doesn't make you a professional ball player. Riding in an airline doesn't make you a pilot. And I would say sitting in the pews here doesn't make us Christians. And I want you to think about that as we talk about something very, very important. We want to focus today on our faith and the challenges that our faith sets before us. And there are many, the temptation from those movies. Progressive thinkers, those who introduce innovations within the church. The people that we have to face the immorality of the world around us. And every Christian alive today has to deal with the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. We have to be on guard against the constant influx and influence of Eastern religions. The social gospel that has caused so many churches to fall to their knees in unfaithfulness. Churches that are described by Jesus in the book of Revelation as a warning to all of us. And the error of institutionalism and the damning effects that that has on the body of Christ. But of all these subjects, I would say that they all pale in comparison to the greatest challenge that faces every single Christian today. And that is ourselves. As individuals, as an individual being created by God, myself is the greatest threat to me. And the biggest reason for that is when I am not every day walking by faith. It's easy when you think about it to be a Christian today, on the Lord's Day. We've all assembled here in this building. We all have a Bible in our possession. We have songbooks that we can sing the songs and praises to the Lord. And we can all pray together. And we can all participate in the Lord's Supper together as we have this morning. We can have this wonderful fellowship together on the Lord's Day in Christ. Together. And it's easy. But then Monday comes along. And it starts to get harder. Tuesday. And it's even harder. Because many don't walk everyday faith. We often leave the Bible in the pew. I've seen Bibles sitting in pews even here on Monday when I come into work, or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday and Saturday. And oftentimes we don't pick them up even when we take them home. that old phrase of the Bible being the most purchased book in the world and the least read and the least understood is very true. And that's because of ourselves, because we're not walking an everyday faith. And you know, it gets really difficult Monday morning when you walk into that office or you walk into that factory and things get started and things start to get hard and that world's around you and the association of sin is everywhere. And that's when our faith is most challenged. Every day when we're not together as God's children, as a church family that we are. The young people that are here, you walk to school, you go to school, and the minute you get to school, you're going to be with your friends and the influences of the world, and you're going to be walking down that hallway, sitting in the lunchroom, standing outside before and after school and during breaks, and you're going to be influenced. And you need to walk the faith every day. You know, I have to ask the question, how can I be the faithful child of God? How can I be like Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, while I'm at school, while I'm at home, while I'm at work, while I'm at play, in season and out of season, in the springtime, in the fall, in the winter? How can we live an everyday kind of faith? And we want to discuss that. You know, the first and probably the most important of everyday faith is simply to pray every day. The challenge is that on the Facebook, for those of you that use Facebook, and you click that little thing and it says, we'll pray. You know, somebody puts a post up and it says, so-and-so is sick, we're asking for prayers, and you click that little thing and you type in there, we'll pray. And then you don't. It's easy to write the words. But we need to be praying constantly. As we read in Thessalonians this morning in chapter 5, we pray without ceasing. But when we think about prayer, without going into the depth of praying without ceasing, you know, the Lord, our Savior, He said in His template for prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And you think about that. He didn't say, pray to the Father that He gives us this week our daily bread. He didn't say, this month, give us our daily bread. Or this year, give us our daily bread. Every day, every day, every day, we pray, asking God for the things of the necessities of our life. This day is what He said. Another thing, too, is, you know, we pray on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and Saturday. That's every day. Another thing that would help us to walk in everyday faith is that what Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Not on Sunday only. Not on Wednesday only. But every day, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday. We need to take up our cross and follow Jesus. That's everyday faith. When we think about that, we also need to exhort one another. The Hebrew writer said, but exhort one another on Sunday. Exhort one another on Wednesday. Exhort one another on every day. That's what he said, daily. When we think about that, again, that implies every day, every day, every day, exhorting one another. We should be caring enough for one another to know something about each other beyond the pews in this building. And we need to strive for that. And it's hard. And I want to look at a couple of passages in the book of Acts. If you'll turn to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, it's a familiar passage. But you know, daily they were in the temple, that scripture says, Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Daily they were in the temple and in every house. And they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This was a daily thing with saints. And this is our example, our pattern from the New Testament, that we need to be daily, daily worshiping God, studying, exhorting, And we need to be daily teaching, not just others, but ourselves. And daily we need to be thinking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and sharing that with the world around us. When we walk everyday faith like that, we will be built up and established as a great people for God. A special people. In Acts chapter 17 and in verse 11, you know, these were more fair-minded, those in Thessalonica. What did they do? They searched the Scriptures daily. Daily. That's how we have an everyday faith. Too many times I think we leave this building and we go home and Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday and Friday, we think, I have faith. I have faith. But you see, our faith has to increase daily, as Peter said. Add to your faith. And it needs to be something that's done daily. This is the pattern of the early church, the Christians, and this is how they survived. We have troubles coming this way in the days to come. I'm sure things will get more and more difficult. And the only way we can survive is if we're every day walking in faith. They had terrible times, and I think that the world is going to present terrible times to the church in the near future. Terrible times. And the only way to overcome that is by every day walking in faith. They had persecution. We haven't experienced that to any great degree in this country yet, but it's coming. And we need everyday faith. Or we will not be able to stand. Yes, even death they faced in that first century and beyond. In our study of God's Word today, we need to be a daily Christian, a daily person walking in everyday faith. Again, it's hard on Monday, all the way through the week. And what we need is those prayers. If we're praying daily, it makes it easier. If we're taking up our cross daily, it makes it easier. If we're exhorting one another daily, it makes it easier. If we're teaching and preaching Christ crucified every day to someone, it makes it easier. It becomes a part of us. And I want you to think of that, the word interwoven. You know, it's hard to draw closer to God without studying His Word, without being a Christian and walking in everyday faith. James tells us if we draw close to God, He will draw close to us. But that requires everyday faith. You know, we have to first look at the New Testament Christians. And then when we do, we'll see things that Christians have done in their everyday faith. And then we realize how that the faith is something that's interwoven into their lives. They were not just Christians. They were not people who just simply said, well, yeah, I have faith. They were putting on Jesus Christ. They were people who had fellowship spiritually with one another and with Christ. It was a way of life to walk every day in faith. In Galatians 3 and 27, the Apostle Paul writes that for as many of us as were baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. And that's something that you know, too many people think that putting on Christ means you get up in the morning and you pick what kind of clothes you're going to wear, what color shirt you're going to wear. Am I going to have a coat? Am I going to have a scarf? What am I going to wear today? And then the next day, you pick something different. That's the way the denominational world is. They decide how they're going to dress, how they're going to put on Christ. But the early church, they understood that. Putting on Christ means that you clothe yourself with the one and only Christ. You think about the clothes you're wearing right now. And you imagine in your mind that they're made up of all kinds of thread woven together. Imagine that every one of those pieces of thread that make up your shirt or your tie or your slacks or your dress or your neck scarf, every one of those pieces of thin thread is a word from God's precious book. Every single one is something out of the Bible. And they all represent something from Genesis 1:1 in the beginning God, all the way to Revelation, where Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. You think about all the different fibers and how they come together. And you can't tear them apart or you ruin it. And that's the way Jesus is in our lives. When we put on Christ, He's interwoven in our very being. It's something that you don't easily take off. We put on Christ, we clothe ourselves in Christ. You know, back in the first century, they all wore coats. And on the back of the coat, it said Jesus in real big letters. Not physically, but spiritually. Not literally, but inside, they wore Jesus. And it showed up on the outside. You know, we know about the dispersion and how early saints sometimes had to run and hide. You know why they had to run and hide? Because people knew they were of Christ. We studied about Peter and how he denied Christ three times. How did they know Peter was of Christ? Because you can see Christ in people, in their language. That's how they spotted Peter. One of the ways was by his language, the way he talked. They knew that Jesus was in Peter. You think of this, Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, as we talk about this further. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We need to walk everyday faith. And we need to put Jesus on 365 days a year, 24/7. And so, everywhere you go, Jesus is there. When you go to work, Jesus is there. When you go to school, Jesus is there. When you go to play, Jesus is there. When you go out and you watch a ball game, Jesus is there. And so we want to look at this concept too. Try to make sure we understand this about being in Christ. In love. We all know what that means, right? A young man meets a young girl and a young girl sees the young man and they fall in love. And they are in love. And listen, when that happens, I know from experience, and my wife can tell you, you can't separate that. I mean, you can try. Your parents can say, I don't think I like that girl. Or their parents can say, I don't think I like that guy, but it doesn't matter. Because I'm in love. And no matter what you say, and no matter what you do, I'm in love. And when you're in love, man, there's nothing that's going to change that. What about in trouble? We all understand, young people, you know what it means to be in trouble, don't you? See, he's going, he smiled. We know what it means to be in trouble. How do you get in trouble? Because you did something wrong. And when you do something wrong, all of a sudden you're in trouble. And we can understand this concept, being in love, being in trouble. What about being in school? Right? Your mom says, where were you this afternoon? You say, in school. We know what it means to be in school. And school means you're inside that physical building. It means you're going from class to class, from teacher to teacher. It's a place of education, and you're learning new things. And that's what it means to be in school. You can't sit in the park when your mother says, where were you today? If you say in school and you were in the park with your friends, now you're back to being in trouble again. And we know what that means. There's consequences. Being in school is a great image. You know, right now we're in this building. And so we can't say that I'm not in the building. I'm in the building. And it's the same thing with being in Christ. In Christ means that you are in Him now. You are a part of Him and He's a part of you. And they're inseparable. You can't take one away from the other. If you would, understand this, that we all, you know, notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 14. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 7 through 14. And I want you to listen for in Him. Verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth. in Him, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to His counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. In Him we have redemption. Through His blood, in Him we have forgiveness. In Him, He will know which is His, He knows His purpose, and in Himself, He purposed to save us, to make the church planted upon this earth. In Him, in His time, He will gather together all things, the things in heaven and the things on the earth. And in that time, in Him, we will have that inheritance. In Him, we trust. In Him we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. In Him. And the only way for that to happen is if we clothe ourselves with Christ, if we walk in an everyday kind of faith. You know what Paul's describing is that to be Christian means to have the Spirit of God interwoven with our own selves. You know, in the beginning I said that the biggest threat that we ever face is ourselves. So if we continually modify ourselves to be more like Christ by walking an everyday kind of faith, and we continually put Christ in us more and more, we keep adding more and more threads to our clothing. And eventually we're fully clothed. We're protected. It's not just on Sunday. It's the rest of the week. All the time. That's how I want to be in Him. I am in Christ always is what we should be thinking and what we should be saying. That everyday faith is something that we have to choose. I am in love. I'm in trouble. I'm in school. You see the point here? I am in Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. Just, you probably don't even have to turn your page, but 2. Verses 11 through 13. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, we read, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ." There was a time when we were without Christ. But, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus is our peace. He is the way. And we need to be in Him. He is the one who has reconciled us. Now the problem with not walking everyday faith. When we think of walking everyday faith, if we don't do that, there's a problem. You see, what we want to see this is that the New Testament Christians, you know, they didn't turn their faith on and off like a light switch, you know, just on certain days. Why did they live together? They lived the faith every day because that's what Jesus Christ was to them. He was a fiber interwoven with themselves. They were in Christ. And that's not something that you turn on and off. They didn't say, "I'm in church here on Sunday, so I got to watch what my mouth says. I got to sit up straight, and then on Monday morning it's back to the dog-eat-dog world." They understood the concept of having an everyday faith. And the problem when we don't have an everyday faith is something called inconsistency. Inconsistency, that is what confuses people and draws criticism from being a hypocrite. When we don't live everyday faith, we become inconsistent in our actions and our words. And this is where people get the fuel for shouting out claims at the church of hypocrisy. They say, oh, on Sunday, I bet you're in there all righteous and everything. But I've seen you at work on Monday. I've seen you as you go about your business. And I've seen you. You're a mean person, or you're an unforgiving person, or I've heard the language that comes out of your mouth. I've heard the things that you say. Watch the things that you do. This inconsistency, it hurts the family of God. And it hurts the individual. This issue exists only because certain Christians don't live everyday faith. But this can be readily resolved. This can be eliminated. It's something that doesn't have to exist if every member of God, every child of God, every member of the family of God would just simply walk in everyday faith. Turn with me to the book of James chapter 3. And we're going to look in the James for two examples of and some answers. And then, Lord willing, tonight we'll look at the Old Testament and see some classic examples of everyday faith and how it succeeded and how it failed. But the inconsistency is what we're thinking about right now. You know, when we think about the book of James and James chapter 3, we want to read verses 9 through 12. And realize that what we're talking about here is the tongue. We're talking about the tongue. Speaking of the tongue, James writes, "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made of the similitude of God." Stop for a second. Time out. I want you to think about that. Because this kind of thing even happens on Sunday with some families. You come to worship, and you're praising God and singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and you're bringing honor to the Father, and then you leave and you start nitpicking at each other. You get in the car and you spout out insults or start complaining or saying things, you know, to one another that aren't exactly a blessing. And that same mouth that just praised God is now biting and chewing one another, and that's inconsistent. But we can't bite and devour one another. We need to be a people who are continually exhorting one another, lifting one another up in prayer. And in word, and in deed. Do you see that? Out of the same mouth, blessings and cursings. These things ought not be so. As we go on here in this book of James, and we continue reading in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. You see what's happening? These verses, you know, they can haunt us if we're not walking everyday faith. These verses, they catch us off guard if we're not walking in everyday faith. When you read these verses, they sometimes seem to step on our toes if we're not walking in everyday faith. When we realize that this could be me, when I reflect on my own life and my own words, the things that I say to people from day to day outside of this building. Everyday faith is hard. You know, it's not easy. But it's one of the greatest challenges that every Christian must face and deal with and address. When you're at work, when you're on the job, when you're in the classroom, when you're out playing, when you're with friends, when you're at home, when you're on vacation. Everyday faith. And we must strive for that everyday faith. You know, a young man and a young woman, they come together, they fall in love, and they get married. And then the new wife, she just has these dreams of a fantastic marriage and a phenomenal loving relationship that's going to last through all the way into eternity. She thinks about having children and raising up a family. And she thinks about how wonderful it's going to be someday to grow old together and to see her grandchildren. And then a young man who is he's in the little leagues. And he's playing ball out on that field. And when he's swinging that bat or he's approaching that plate, and he's thinking about the big league someday. I'm going to be in the big league someday. This is going to be my future. I can see it. I can see it. And then you have a young lady that's singing her heart out in a school play. She's singing and singing and singing, and the whole time that she's singing before and after, she's thinking, one of these days I'm going to be on Broadway. And I'm going to be in the movies. And then reality sets in. Because in order to attain these goals, we will soon come to know that it's hard work. There's practices that come, disciplines that happen, hard work at times, and sometimes it's hard and boring in order to reach that goal. And I think that's where a lot of Christians fall short, is because they're not walking every day in faith. They're not going to reach that goal like they should. Because we think that we were baptized, and now I have faith. And then we just wait. There's no practicing, no discipline, no hard work, no Bible studies, no sharing the gospel, no growing in our faith every day and every day. You know, that's when the bride learns that not every day is a wedding day. And that's what Christians need to learn, that not every day is Sunday. Monday and the rest of the week can be hard. And sometimes it really does get hard. And like all these challenges, they're just choices. And that's what the tongue and bridling the tongue has to come into play. Go in your Bibles in the book of James. Let's go back just a couple of pages. Let's read James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with nothing doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For not let that man suppose that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, James just introduced us something here called a double-minded man. A double-minded man is a man who can't make up his mind about faith. A double-minded man, now listen, we're not talking about somebody with a split personality. We're not talking about somebody who is challenged mentally. This is a person who can't draw a line in the sand and stand on one side. This is a person who draws a line in the sand and says, I'm standing right here firm, and the next thing you know, he's standing on the other side of the line. One day he's all fired up for the Lord, and the next day he's on the other side of right. That's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He doesn't say, every day I'm walking in Jesus. Every day I'm walking in faith. Every day I'm doing the studying and the praying and the exhortation. He can't say those things. Because on Monday he sits and relaxes all day. I'm retired. Why not? I got a great television. I have a fantastic playroom in my house. I'm just going to relax. I worked hard all these years. See, what that is a double-minded man, and that is also inconsistent. It's inconsistent with the faith. This man is unstable in all his ways. Unstable. Always back and forth. You know, think about going out on a cruise. I don't know if any of you have ever been on a cruise. I've been on big boats, but I've never been on a cruise. But I do know when you get out on that water, that boat goes up and it goes down. And it goes up and it goes down. And there are a lot of people on that boat that, you know, you can imagine them like the average Christian, who they don't care if the boat goes up or down. They enjoy it. They don't care. Up, down, up, down. But then there's some people who really get sick over that. You're holding on to the rail. And you're getting seasick, and you don't want anything to do with this anymore. Because you don't like this up and down, up and down. You like the straight and level path. And that's what James is talking about when he talks about being pushed around by the wind and the waves of the sea. We're a people that need to be stable in our faith, everyday faith. Not up and down, not up and down. You know, we need to be a people who are stable. If you contrast the statements here about being unstable with the statements of the Apostle Paul in his commandment in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. That's the even keel. That's what we need to be, steadfast, immovable. It's like the guy with this rock. You know, he's trying to move that big rock and he can't move it. because that rock represents God. And we shouldn't be fighting against God. We shouldn't be trying to add to or take away from God. We need to be a people who rest upon the rock, not try to move it. People who are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's everyday faith. The Lord wants us to stand upon the rock, not try to move it. Everyday faith. Ephesians 4 and 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of every doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. You think about that. At Matthew 6 and 24, Jesus, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in this world. You can't live in the flesh and try to walk in the Spirit. We need to be a people who are not up one day and down the next. You see, that's the problem without everyday faith. Until we make up our mind to walk with Jesus and only with Jesus, that we need to be the same everywhere we go, everywhere. The same as we are in the worship service. The same while we're playing golf that we would be having a Bible study with that same person. The same person living everyday faith. And I want you to think about these things. This evening, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about Solomon and Ahab and Elijah and see how those things come into play. Trying to describe this issue of being a hypocrite or everyday faith and not having everyday faith, of being up and down, up and down. And we'll take a look at these things and a little bit more, Lord willing. I hope that this helps you to at least be thinking about the idea of what is everyday faith. What does it mean to be in Christ, to be clothed in Christ? And if you haven't clothed yourself in Christ, we know that by the invitation of the Lord, that clothing comes very simply by being baptized into Christ. That's what we read in Galatians 3 and 27. As many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. When we're baptized into Christ, our sins are remiss or washed away by the blood of Christ. And if you haven't done that yet, we encourage you to accept the Lord's invitation. And if we have been a people in ourselves, we look at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word, and we've been kind of an up and down people, then we need to level that plane. And we need to make that right with the Lord. Do you have need this day? If you do, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.